Anybody want to have any report or anything you want to talk about?
I can report something. This is Michael White.
Okay, go ahead, Michael.
I pay a lot of attention to the way things are disappearing from the internet. So, for instance, the Yahoo groups, we've got an article up about how all the content is being deleted. But in our own Pacifica environment, we've got things disappearing. So WBAI's website is entirely down, and with it, all of WBAI's archives. So at this very moment, when people are wondering what was going on with WBAI, what it had to offer and everything, and when people normally want to go to it because articles refer to broadcasts on WBAI, all of that history has been banished in an Orwellian fashion. I notice other things disappear from the Pacifica website as well. So I've been interested to learn more about my fellow local station board members and the Pacifica national board members, and they run for election. And I noticed that after they run for election, their statements as to why they wanted to be on the board and who they are get taken down, and they don't seem to be available in any archived fashion. So I thought that when I said why I wanted to be on the board, people would forever after be able to see exactly what I said I was about, and then I was surprised to discover it had been deleted from public view, and my link to it was no longer available. And when I tried to find out information about people that I just can't understand what they're doing on the board and why they came, none of that information that they supplied when they ran for their election is there. So I think we've got a real problem with the Orwellian nature of the disappearance of information from the Pacifica website.
Eileen to the stack. Am I muted? No.
Hello? We hear you.
Oh, okay. No, I just wanted to say that the website in general needs a lot of work. If we want people to ever donate to the Pacifica Foundation, if they go to that website, they'd be very discouraged from donating. I don't know if any of you have looked at it lately, but I'm wondering who would be responsible for doing that or getting that done. I mean, it seems to me like,
well, we have a pretty slim national office staff.
Right. Yeah. So we may have to wait to do that.
Well,
until someone fills themselves out.
If we have more funds, we could hire more people to do a lot of things. I'm sorry, I should let other people speak. Anybody else want to comment?
I'm going to suggest that a good place to start is in not deleting things so freely, and it's a major concern that WBAI's archives have been deleted. And
I'm pretty sure they've all been saved. But they're not.
They're not there. If the public looks for them, as the public has been directed to by many articles in the past and stuff like that, they're not going to find anything, and that's going to, it's very disconcerting. And I don't know why the total lack of judgment in doing that, because someone had to make that decision.
This is James with a request for information. I'm wondering, Bill, how is it that you think that they've probably been saved?
Because I've been told they've been saved. But, I can't verify that personally by the chief engineer for our Eastern Division. He said he's very careful to preserve everything so that it could all be put back.
Mo WBIA. Thomas. Would that be Mo Thomas?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Equipment, files.
Point of inquiry, who made the decision to make the archives unavailable?
I don't know, and I'm not sure that was a specific decision about that. But
you mean it was just incompetent rashness?
I can respond to that, but yeah, Eileen, go ahead.
Yeah, who is managing the WBAI website at this moment? If I go log on to WBAI, let's see, New York, let me find the website. There it is. Yeah, so it's Pacifica Across America. Why couldn't there be a link to the archives? At the very least, it seems. Who would we need to ask about that? Would that be Mo, or would it be Otis, or does anyone know?
I don't know. I guess you could ask Mo. It would be a good question.
Okay.
I must say the lawsuits kind of diverted a lot of attention from getting everything put back at WBII and getting it restored. It's taken a lot of time and resources.
Sure.
But I know the intentions to put everything back.
But I will volunteer to get in touch with Mo tomorrow, since he's here at my station, and let's see if that can be done.
Okay, I don't think he has anything to do with the elections, though, and that's, I guess, up to the NES. And I don't.
Well,
I assume those are safe, but I don't know. Well, the issue about the candidate statements for this election or previous elections, I'm not sure if you're talking about all of them or not. I don't know what happens to those. Or does that? You know, I guess it might be helpful for this committee to make a list of files, other, you know, things that need to be accessible.
Michael White here. Notice that in our discussion we seem to be getting into governance issues, in that when we're talking about files and information that should be available, we don't know who is in charge and who has the answers, and that's a pretty big hole in terms of governance, that nobody knows who's in charge, who's making decisions, or how and why it's happening.
But if you know, if you want to make a list of written questions, and we can see if we can get them answered, if you want. But
James, I'm observing that the governance is out of control here.
Okay, let me see if anybody hasn't spoken yet and want to speak on this topic, this agenda item. Okay, go ahead, James.
Yeah, I wanted to add to perhaps what Eileen could inquire of Mo Thomas about. And perhaps it's part and parcel of what she's already thinking about. Our WBAI.org email system, or I guess that's the website as well, all of our employees who we still have because of the court order are unable to access WBAI.org in order to communicate, in order to continue business, to answer listeners' questions about premiums, make donations, whatever was normally done on that website. And we have our people having to reach into their own computers and their own archives to get this kind of information. So I wonder if it would be proper to ask Eileen to inquire to Mo Thomas about restoring WBI.org and our email access for our employees.
I'm happy to do that. I'll have some more questions for you because I'm not totally clear on what you're asking. I mean, do people still have their own WBAI email addresses? You know, like josmo@wbai.org. Is that working?
No.
Okay. And is there a WBAI, like an info at WBAI.org, where people might be writing in?
Assume there is, yes.
Okay.
We've also had disruptions with our vendors and our service providers for the same reason. Relationships have been built up over years that all of a sudden we went dark on.
I just had one more thing. All the candidate statements are still up on the elections.pacifica.org. So I don't know what happens to them after the elections, but maybe we can ask whoever's running the elections website to download all of them for all the stations and for all the listener and staff candidates. And they could be stashed somewhere or made available somewhere. So I can ask.
Is that a motion? If that's a motion, I'll second it.
I couldn't. I guess.
James.
Should have been. Okay.
And if it's a motion, I'll vote for it.
Yes.
Any other comments? Okay. I'll write a motion and give me a couple of minutes.
Thank you, Eileen.
If I may raise something else. In our last meeting, we also discussed the need for confidentiality and to restrict access to certain files and documents. And I believe that there were very confidential documents on the BAI computers, including mailing lists that have been taken by certain people. And so that raises a governance issue as to whether those people had rights to those documents.
Is that a motion, James?
That's Michael White, and I was not making a motion, but we have had discussions in the past about how good governance and the availability of files involves two things. One, it's making public everything that should be public for transparency purposes, and then it also involves keeping confidential everything that should be confidential. So that, and the way that people fight over the mailing lists and membership lists and stuff is, I guess, well known at this point, and it seems as if a lot of information that should have been restricted may have been taken by certain elements during the takeover of WBAI, and so they weren't. So, in terms of governance, it was not access to the data was not properly restricted.
We still have the chair.
I was muted. I was muted. I don't think anything was taken by anybody that, you know, to give an access to anybody that shouldn't already have it. It was just management that had that, if anything. I don't know exactly the control of the website, though, right now, so I guess.
And so you would qualify yourself as management? I think you were there when this happened.
No, and I don't have access to any of that. Okay, let's see. We have, how much more time do we have on this item? This is a 20-minute item. I think we're almost out of time, but anybody else want to say anything about the, actually, I think we are out of time on this, but you remember Aki?
Yeah.
4 minutes. Anybody else want to discuss anything about the working group on organization of and access to Pacifica files and documents?
I think we started
8 minutes after the hour. We're doing my notes, so we have a few more minutes. Eileen? Or Rick?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Rick was...
Go ahead, Rick.
No, I was wondering if there was a motion or anything.
No, there's none.
That you would work.
Eileen was working on a motion.
6 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, and because I'm trying to think and talk and write at the same time. No, just for a point of information I can offer, which is that, as you may remember, we were talking about how to organize and make available and make sure they get saved any number of documents, Pacifica documents, you know, especially starting out with minutes of PNB meetings, Finance Committee, and Audit Committee meetings, which the auditors require each year. And then, you know, we can add to that with any number of other documents. And we have kind of a long list of ideas. What we don't have, we haven't made any progress, at least I haven't, on where they should be stored and, you know, moving it forward just because of other demands on my time. Also, I believe Otis said we could be storing them on the Pacifica server, and it gave me access. I lost track. I didn't lose track of it. I lost access, I think. My password must have changed. So I haven't been able to get back in there to look at it like I tried to today, but we'll just have to get back to it again soon. There were a few other people who were working on that a little bit. I think it was who was included in that? That was Aki and
Adler, Michael Adler.
Michael Adler and I have it written down somewhere else. Do you remember who else? Aki? No?
I was looking at it, but I didn't think I volunteered to help find another place.
I think, you know, at some point when it's possible, we'll get back to this. Right now, it's probably not the biggest priority. But, you know, we take into account things like candidate statements, things like that. I'm not sure what should go where. There's a lot I don't know, but I just wanted to mention that. I'm done.
James, for the stack.
Only Jess, Eileen, are you still working on the motion?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we'll come back to you. Okay.
Okay.
But let me see. Anybody else that hasn't spoken yet want to say anything about this topic? Okay, go ahead, James.
I appreciate Eileen's comments and bringing us back to some of our past business. And I wanted to just add that one of the important things that we wanted to establish a record for was the CAB minutes, the Community Advisory Board minutes, which are a requirement for restoring our Corporation for Public Broadcasting grants, which is, you know, a lot of money that we've been missing for many years and has contributed greatly to our financial stress that we're in at the moment, which has emanated from sources all around the network, not just the favorite, I won't say that, but not just WBAI. Also, I want to note that I don't know if anybody has mentioned it tonight. I don't remember. But Yahoo Groups is no longer going to be in existence. So I know that at WBAI we have a lot of our history on Yahoo Groups. We have, in particular, our finance committee, and I think that's possibly true around the network, that people have history and documentation for Pacifica business and records and such need to be hello. Those things need to be preserved, and I'm hoping, you know, to send up a red flag. We have to do that soon. I think it's those things are possibly already not accepting new information, and I think by December 31st, it's going to be gone.
No, it's December 14th is the date that everything disappears. There's a process for taking things down in bulk, but it's a 30-day process, so you have to begin it early and then see if it actually showed up. So you have very little time to do it.
Thank you. And I suggest that you all talk to all your LSBs about it, because I don't know what different committees use. If any of them use like Yahoo Groups, that's right. They've been, you know, Google Groups stopped doing this a few years ago, and they're trying to push everybody to Google Docs, which is really not private. And so now Yahoo Groups is getting rid of their file storage section. I think they're going to keep email lists. Is that correct? But we're not sure about attachments. If you have attachments to old emails, they might not be accessible.
They're keeping the ability to do emails, but they are changing the rules of governance on the on how those groups are managed.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any other comments on a journal topic, working group on organization of and access to files and documents. Anybody else like to help with that? You know, especially finding another place to put stuff and evaluating the pros and cons maybe of different places.
James for the stack.
Okay, James.
You know, we have certain people, and I'm sure at WBI we have certain people, and I'm sure at other stations there are also such people who are very familiar with that. For example, our Paul Martin, who is our treasurer, a member of the finance, the PNB Finance Committee, he is aware of what's there in some cases and how to preserve it. So perhaps we could pass some kind of a motion to ask all stations to select people who could assist with that. And I don't know if we need to bring them into a governance committee working group or somehow get something going that's organized to motivate all the stations to be aware of this and to try to do something about it as soon as possible.
Okay. Do you want to write a motion or just send out, we can write up a notice to send to each station?
I don't know. I'd like to throw it out to the group and see what people think about that.
Okay. Comments, anybody? Or suggestions? I'll just say, Bill, I do agree. We shouldn't try to reinvent the wheel. And if somebody's found a good solution at one place, we should share that. Were you going to say something, Aki?
Yeah, well, all the IT people at each station, we should be contacting, and they should be communicating with each other so that, you know, the five stations, you know, the IT people can, you know, talk to each other and find out what to do.
Well, is it James for the stack?
Okay, let me see if anybody else that hasn't spoken want to say something. Okay, don't hear anybody, so go ahead, James.
I guess I forgot, since WBI has been on an austerity budget, an austerity staffing situation for years now, we don't have an IT person anymore, so I was actually imagining that the rest of the network was working that way, and they didn't have an IT person, but they would have to find the people who know how to do these things among the people that they do have. We don't have an IT person, but you know, we can reach out to individuals, hopefully, who have this information or have this knowledge.
It doesn't have to be an official IT person. Each station is somebody who is dedicated, who cares about the station, who cares about these things. It doesn't have to have an official title.
Bill, let me just say that the IT staff might not even be aware of what files the governance has. So those of us in governance may need to, you know, figure this out ourselves, although certainly a good idea to share information we have or questions with IT staff that may be working on this.
But James, again, to the stack again.
I don't know if any of the station staff are using Yahoo groups, but I know the lot of our committees are. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I may be exaggerating, but I think we're the only network in the world that is run in a democratic fashion by its members and its employees, its workers. And I think it's, you know, we may not realize the historical significance of it now, but perhaps in the future, people would be looking back and saying, well, what was that all about? And it would be nice if we could preserve, you know, even our petty squabbles.
Okay. Any other discussion before Eileen's ready? Was there a motion?
I sent the motion out. Let me check and see if you got it.
Mm-hmm. I have it.
Okay.
Feel free to edit. I'm not much of a motion writer.
I don't see it, but could you read it?
Yeah. It just says, to preserve the candidate statements currently found on the Pacifica elections. Oh, wait, I updated. To preserve the listener and staff candidate statements currently found on the Pacifica elections 2019 site, to make them available to the public on the Pacifica website and or on each individual station's or unit's website. And I added the URL where they can be found now.
Okay, is that just for the current ones, or do you want to go back and get previous ones if they're still available somewhere?
I don't know. If they're available, I guess, go back just a few years to, I don't know, let's see what's available. I'll add that. How's that?
Okay, discussion on Eileen's motion? Okay.
Sent it to.
And I didn't get it.
Oh, I probably did it. Oh, no, I sent it to Google Groups. That's where it went. I'm sorry. It went to the Google Groups site.
I think this kicks us off on the habit, which is what
the
we've got to get started
gov,
on.
PNBGovCom at GoogleGroups.com?
Yeah.
No, I got it.
You have it, Aki? Okay.
I don't have it.
Yes, I got it here.
Sometimes the list don't send stuff through immediately if they're busy. Okay, any other discussion about Eileen's motion?
I'll add in and previous year's statements, if available.
Okay.
That's okay with everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Any objections? Hearing none, then that's added. Is there any more discussion about the motion? Okay. Are there any objections to the motion as amended? Hearing none, then the motion's adopted. Thank you. Okay. Other discussion on this general topic? We're about out of time now. Working group on files and documents? We go on to the next agenda item. Number six, review governance-related problems and propose solutions. Anybody?
This is Grace. I'd like to make a comment.
Okay, Grace.
Just a comment. And what I'm observing is that we have three people, at least on this call, but probably more like five people, who have grown through the LSV process and the PNB committee process as contributors to our governance of Pacifica. Those people are relatively new LSV members and PNB directors, Eileen Rosin, James Sagerton, Michael D.G. White, Lou Wolf, he may have been around for a long time, but I'm not familiar with him, and possibly Rick Potthoff. And I'd like to say that reducing the size of boards without thinking of the consequences of doing that in terms of not grooming newer board members to take the reins of this foundation when those of us who have been around for a long time wish to move on with other things in life might be a mistake. I think that has to be considered very carefully because there is Pacifica and democratic governance in general is a very complex and intricate thing, and it takes a while to have people understand it and to start functioning proactively in this environment.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'll throw in an observation in that respect.
And who's that? Is that Michael?
This is Michael White.
Yeah.
Because I was talking with one of the board members who wants to see Pacifica, the whole environment, change, arguing that we're not corporate enough, and that people who think politically are not competent to run things. I happen to come out of an environment where government environment, and although it was assumed in this conversation that I have no financial experience, I've been involved in issuing billions of dollars of bonds and making hundreds of millions of dollars of mortgages and whatnot, but I happen to disagree with it. In fact, I've written a fair amount and collected a lot of articles, a number of them are up at Citizens Defending Libraries, about the way that boards are now failing the public by becoming corporate and becoming boards comprised of people who basically they're like colorblind. They only see what can be monetized, and they only think in financial terms. Now, I'm not one of the ones who's going to tell you that you don't have to pay attention to finances and that numbers don't have a value sometimes. But the argument that I was getting from this board member who wants Pacifica changed is that Pacifica's got to be, sort of just a traditional corporate board and people who already have money and that kind of thing. And we wanted to recast it in corporate terms. And I don't think with a Pacifica mission statement, you can even see what needs to be done if you only think in those terms. So I frankly did not agree with this fellow at all, as you know, that as those were his proposed solutions for Pacifica.
Okay, who's next?
Lewis Wolf to the stock.
Okay, Lewis.
I would agree with the comments you just made. I think that would be a backward step if we were to go in that direction. Corporate influence in this country is out of control. We need only look at the current situation in Washington and all around this country. But I have a separate comment, which I'm not sure if it's in the purview of these proposed changes to the bylaws, but I can send this to the group here. I'm sending it right now, if it's all right. It's about what were called in an email from Jim Dingaman, January 22nd, 2019, about broadcasting disclaimer cards. And if you don't mind, chairperson, I would like to send this to everyone if we can discuss this. I don't know whether it's part of the proposed bylaws changes or not, but I'm very concerned about it. So shall I send this or not? My question.
You can send it. I think the programming committee passed a motion about this a few months ago. Is it the same thing? But I think Jim Dingaman's on.
That's news to me. I didn't know it had passed. Okay, I just now sent it. I hope you'll receive it. I'll just relate to you through it. I'm very concerned about the piece of it where it says, and I'll read in the third paragraph, disclaimer cards will be broadcast prior to, during, and after the broadcast of any material deemed controversial and or dealing with sensitive material as determined by the program director or general manager. Then it goes on to say, disclaimer cards will be broadcast prior to any and all live call-in segments that allow for the general public to participate in the broadcast. So I guess I'm asking here, this is pretty amazing language here. Any material deemed controversial and or dealing with sensitive material as determined by the program director or general manager. Do you know, any of you know whether that was passed, if I heard correctly just now, by the program committee, or is it proposed in these two bylaw changes, which I have searched through and I don't find them, but I still want to know?
I think the PNB sent a motion back to the programming committee, if I remember correctly.
This is Grace.
Anybody remember? Okay, Grace.
I think that one about disclaimers may have passed the PNB. I'm not absolutely certain. It's certainly a good idea, I mean, to prevent legal issues, in my opinion. But not absolutely certain that it passed, but it was sent to the PNB. There were a bunch of motions from the programming committee that were sent back to that committee and somehow haven't gotten back to be discussed and voted on by the PNB as a whole. But probably Jim Dingman would know if...
I haven't gotten... Michael White here.
Yes.
I haven't gotten...
Go ahead, Michael.
I haven't gotten a Dingman email to look at. I'm really wondering about the manageability of something that strenuous, requiring determinations, you know, right and left. And I don't know. I do have a legal background. I'm not sure we have to be that protective where it's generally understood that you know, callers, people calling in are not Pacifica, they're just people calling in. I don't hear it done on NPR, which is, you know, certainly...
Okay, James?
Yeah, I just want to note that, you know, NPR doesn't have screeners. I mean, WBAI doesn't have screeners, like NPR does. And we don't have insurance like other people do, perhaps. But I wanted to, I think Lou was expressing a concern. It sounded to me like he might be concerned about a censorship aspect of that. And I think the spirit of what Dingman was offering was to protect Pacifica from, you know, the unconventional or, you know, out of the mainstream sentiments that people might express on our air. For example, the situation where Mimi Rosenberg made a remark about we have to stop Trump. And a storm was raised about that being a an FCC violation because we're not supposed to have calls to action. That's a violation of FCC regulations. And, of course, we're not supposed to take political positions. So being a decidedly progressive network, we need to protect our tax status as a nonprofit by issuing disclaimers that the things that are said by people who call in or even hosts who are not part of management are not the opinion of Pacifica as a network, but that they are the opinion of the people who are offering them. So it's not so much censorship as it is protecting us from the government shutting us down or fining us or you know, taking other measures to stifle the, you know, the free exchange of ideas, the free speech that we value so much at Pacifica.
Race for the sack.
Okay. Well, let me just say it real quick. You know, I don't want to have constant disclaimers all the time, but there are concerns if you're interviewing a guest, they can say almost anything, as long as it's not one of the seven naughty words. But a host of a show is considered, you know, part of staff, whether they're paid or unpaid, and you have to be more careful what they say. They can't be violating, you know, FCC regulations. Grace?
I can remember certain very specific programming that was on KPFK that it was generally assumed should have disclaimers. So, for instance, we used to have a weekend devoted to African Mental Liberation Weekend, something like that. And some of the speakers gave opinions that were patently anti-Semitic. And yet, in the spirit of free speech, it was felt that those views should be allowed to be expressed on Pacifica. and not censored. So in that case where we want our audience to know that we're not necessarily, that we are allowing that speech for the benefit of understanding and knowledge of different points of view, but that the station and Pacifica in general is not necessarily supporting or in favor of those points of views. Another place where disclaimers would probably be wise would be with medical cures and with some premiums. It would be best to have disclaimers, not sued if somebody uses a medical cure that doesn't work well. Another similar thing on KPFK was speeches or interviews by people from the Nation of Islam. We actually had a program hosted by somebody from a proponent of the Nation of Islam, and some of it was quite controversial, but of course more acceptable under the rubric of free speech if there are disclaimers so that the listener understands that it's in the spirit of having diverse and broad viewpoints on our air. So there are instances like that where I think that disclaimers are certainly apropos and beneficial to the stations and the listeners, for the listeners to be alerted to this type of thing. And also anti-vaxxing, that's another thing, that should we cover it or not? Some stations have the viewpoint that it should be censored. Others, I think that it might be appropriate to say we're not sure if this is in the best interest of the general society, but we believe that all points of view should be expressed and given some airplay. And I think that that kind of a disclaimer is completely acceptable and would help with our audiences.
Michael White.
Okay, Michael.
I'm wondering if this can be worked out somehow in the future by someone who's a good writer, and rather than focusing on it, expressing this as a negative, there could be something that runs relatively frequently that's really expressed as a positive about free speech and just throws in, which means not everything you hear is an expression of the opinion of Pacifica. And make it a positive that goes down easy, but it's still there and doesn't require the exercise of judgment half hour to half hour by the program manager.
Okay. Not sure if it's a motion or just a suggestion, or I guess we could see if anybody else has.
It's a suggestion.
Yeah. Anybody else?
We have motion, James for the stack.
Oh, go ahead, James.
I see that I have motions coming through from Eileen. Did we deal with that?
Oh, you know, I still haven't seen them. Let me look again.
I think we did.
Hey, it's Michael Adler. I apologize for butting in, but I need to drop off the call. I've got another commitment.
Okay.
I apologize.
All right, thanks. I'm still not seeing any motions, so maybe it's
actually
not getting through.
I posted it in the on the Google group site as a post.
Okay.
Did we vote on the Marlene?
Yeah, you want me to read it one more time?
No, did we vote on them? We haven't voted yet, right?
No, we haven't. We haven't voted.
No. Okay.
Oh,
thank
we
you.
Haven't. Okay. Oh, we just didn't have objections. Okay. I thought it was passed by acclamation. Let me know when you want me to read it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
I think it was passed without objection.
Yeah, I think that's right. I apologize.
Okay, should I still read it?
The one on the previous topic. Yeah, I didn't know if you had one. No, you don't have one on the...
No.
You had one on the...
Candidate statements.
The documents and, yeah, all that stuff, right. Okay.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Another motion, though?
No problem.
But there was, yeah, correct. There was no objection to the motion you had on making the candidate statement, right. Saving and making them available. But I'm not seeing other motions. If somebody else sent them, I'm not just not getting them for some reason.
No, that was my mistake. I apologize.
Okay. Any more discussion on any of this? Which we're just about out of time anyway on this. Okay, can we move on to, let's see what's next. New business? Anybody have any new business? Okay.
Can we take up the motion on WBAI? That was a motion, was it not?
Let's see, which one was that? Who made that?
Sent out to us at 9:43 tonight, the full text. It's has five parts to it.
Jim Sagerton's motion?
Yes.
Did we vote on that? Well, I'm trying to see which one that was again.
Yeah, we voted.
Oh,
we
voted.
We did.
I think we did.
I think that, I don't know, is this Mr. Michael Novak?
Why is there a new business then?
What one of our members was not present during the vote, but
James's motion passed, though.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, and we already added extra time to the agenda, so is there any other new business? Okay. Reaction items. Aki, did you note anybody volunteered to do anything in particular? Oh, I guess we're going to go back. Somebody's going to go back to the programming committee to coordinate with them on what we were just talking about. I'm not sure who was going to do that, though.
About the disclaimers?
Yes.
I can talk to...
Because there was a programming committee with them.
I can talk to Jim Dingman. This is Michael White. I could talk to Jim Dingman about it.
Okay. Hey, thank you.
Could you ask him to be in touch with me about it, too, please? This is Lewis Wolf.
Sure.
I just want to follow up on that. Thank you.
This is James. James for the stack. I would like to offer to assist Michael White in that. I'm on the programming committee, and we can possibly assist each other in that.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll accept that help.
Okay, thank you. Any other action items?
Yeah, me, that I will be in touch with Mo.
Emily?
Yeah, I'll be talking to Mo about the items we mentioned already.
Okay. All right. Let's see, the next meeting, let me check my calendar again. What's it scheduled for? Looking on the KPFDX calendar. I don't believe we have it posted. Is the fourth Wednesday still good? That would be the 27th.
Of November?
Well, that's the day before Thanksgiving. That's why it's not there. Okay. I think we decided. I think we decided not to decide until now, when we were setting the meeting dates. I think we did. Mm-hmm. We did decide on the November one. Somebody want to propose a date, or do you want to make it in December, or what do you want to do?
I have a request for information.
Okay, so James.
If the new bylaws proposals pass, I believe this committee will be disbanded. And so the next meeting we have, if we have one, may be the last meeting. Is that correct?
Well, the committees won't necessarily disappear, but they wouldn't necessarily... Well, I guess I think the local committees would necessarily disappear. That's possible, but, you know, the bylaws aren't going to... I don't think they could possibly get voted on before December. But the next meeting...
So, as I say, this may be the last meeting that we have.
Oh, the November one, you mean? Well, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
I think, well,
I think we should figure out some way to do it then. Despite the Thanksgiving holiday, we should figure out a way to do it one more time. If that may be the case, I don't think, I hope it won't be. I don't mind saying, but I hope we can avoid Thanksgiving and figure out some way to do it possibly before Thanksgiving.
Okay, so anybody want to propose a date?
Well, it's a Tuesday the 19th or Thursday the 21st.
Any objections to one of those 2 days?
Say that again?
Tuesday the 19th or Thursday the 21st.
December?
November.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Well, we seem to be having a real plethora of PMB meetings, and they tend to be more on Thursdays.
So let's go for Tuesday the 19th, then.
I'm just checking KPFPX to see what else might be on that date, and I don't see anything, actually.
Anything either.
So that might be good.
Okay, are there any objections to Tuesday, November 19th? Okay, hearing none, then that'll be our next meeting date. I guess that's all we have on the agenda then. Anything else before we go?
Excuse me.
Okay. Your immediate motion to adjourn?
WBAI is evil.
What?
What was that, Rick?
I'm just being a troll. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you are. And please stop it.
I apologize.
Okay.
I apologize.
Your motion to adjourn?
Okay.
Bill Crozier, may I say, please make sure we know which number to call in so this we don't go through again what we did tonight.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. And I for some reason, I didn't see the email. They're on that email notice, so I just didn't really use it from last night. But
okay.
I will check. I'll confirm with Otis, and I'll try to figure out what happened to the – he says the notice was sent to me, and so I'm – yeah, maybe it went to my spam folder. The other meeting notices don't, but maybe that one got intercepted by one of my filters in the email.
Okay.
You're too busy, so. Okay.
Okay, anybody want to make a motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Any objections? Hearing none, we're adjourned. Thank you.